be speaking on the subject this morning, the laymen of Gad, simply sharing their faith. Amen. Last Sunday, they didn't believe I would be there, but I snuck in. And they asked me to preach, and I told them I did not come to preach, but I came prepared to preach. And an elderly gentleman whom I love very much, a minister for close to 65 years, put his arms around me and he said, I'm so thankful to hear them words, Brother Wise, because we, as ministers of the gospel, need always to be ready to share the word of God. And that we do. Lay people, the laity, that's us. Simply sharing our faith. There is a story of some time ago of a little village that sat nigh close to the edge of a sea that was very dangerous. And one day up on the street, one fella said to the other, you know, I've been thinking. We're so close to that sea where so many people are dying. Why don't we do something to save their lives? And they began to discuss this, what they could do, and pretty soon they came to the decision to build down by the beach a life-saving station, which they did. And those who owned the boat brought their boats down, and they put them into the water. And they set up a task force of saving people. And when there would be a shipwreck or an accident and the word would come, they would hurry down and get in their boats and paddle out into the treacherous sea and save the people's lives. And there were no professional staff for the job. They were all volunteers who were so concerned about lives being lost that they wanted to be a part of saving those lives. And they were prosperous. In fact, they were so prosperous that those they had saved began to send letters of thanksgiving and in them sometimes was large donations for the little life-saving station there. In fact, if they saved so many lives and they were so prosperous that they had so much money, they didn't know what to do with it. And so they began to discuss what to do with the money, and someone says, well, you know, we're in the life-saving business, and we need some better equipment. And so what they did is they bought them a bigger boats. And one fellow said, you know, we're meeting a lot instead of on the street. Why don't we build a clubhouse down by the life-saving station? And that was agreed upon. And they would meet in their clubhouse, and when the word would come in, they would leave their clubhouse and go to sea and save souls. And as time went on, they became more and more prosperous. And one day, a fellow said to them, you know, we've been very prosperous. You know what I think we ought to do? I think we ought to hire a staff to save lives. And we can just sit in the clubhouse. And when the word comes, this professional staff could go out and save the lives. That's what they did. But you know, the professional staff was getting paid anyway, and they weren't really concerned about the lives. But when they would go out, the volunteers would all stay in the clubhouse, not concerned what was happening, because now they had hired a staff to take care of it. And one man said, you know, what we need to do is build a little shack outside the clubhouse. Because when those staff goes out and they save those people, they come in here to our beautiful clubhouse and they're wet and they're filthy and they're coughing, and we don't want to clutter up our beautiful clubhouse. And as the story goes, that's what happened. And one day as they were having a gaily of time and the siren went off and half of the professional staff was in the clubhouse with them enjoying everything, no one heard the call for help. And two men stood up. And they asked, could we say something? When they were granted permission, one of them said, we don't like what's going on. And someone said, and what is it that you don't like? And he said, well, when we first started, we had a desire to save lives. We joyed in it. We were proud in it. We were prosperous in it. And now we have left the task to a few professionals, and we don't care anymore. We need to get back to the business of saving people. And one of the members spoke up and said, if you don't like what's happening, why don't you just leave? That's what they did. They left and went down a little further at the edge of the treacherous body of water, and they built another a life-saving station. But in time, the same thing happened. We are told today that you can go down that coastline. And there are life-saving station after life-saving station all along the bank. But no one is saving lives. The majority perish because the lay people, the volunteers, become unconcerned about what was taking place. And they were so involved in sitting in the clubhouse and showing that silent witness that we used to do this. We used to be concerned. We used to save lives. But now, that's in the past. And you know, a silent witness is good. I mean, if you and I, as the laity of God, if we do not have a silent witness, what we say with our lips will never be heard because the message of our lives will speak much louder. We need to have that silent witness of God. Mahatma Gandhi of India made a comment. And her comment was this. If the American people would practice what they preached, they would win the entire world in 10 days, in 10 years. I believe that's true. We must have a silent witness, but that is not the witness that I'm speaking about concerning the layman, the laity, the volunteers of God. We're all volunteers in the service of God. What I'm talking about is that face to face, that eyeball to eyeball, that heart to heart feeling and concern of sharing our faith with someone else. The job of reaching out to save life, sharing our faith. You see, there's something about our faith. We have people say, and what faith are you? And right away we know we're Southern Baptists. That's not what we're talking about. Our faith is not a denomination. It is not a social club. It is not a code of ethics. It's not a social system. Our faith is in a person, the person of Jesus Christ the Lord. And for what we're saying about we as the laity of God, we the volunteers of God, we're talking about going sharing our faith in a person with someone else who needs to be saved. Today there's an urgent need. In the past 11 years, those who attend church have dropped 7%. Did you notice I said dropped? I believe you can look at any church in Kincaid and see that that's true. And Jesus said, and we hold to that, well, preacher, we don't need to be so concerned because the Bible said, in the latter days there will be a great falling away, and we believe that these are the latter days. That's why so many people are dying without God, because they're busy sitting in the clubhouse and being concerned about the Lord. Yes, in America, only 3% of those who are unchurched ever darken the building where the church meets. And that includes Christmas and Thanksgiving and all other holidays. You see, if we're going to save souls, if we're going to save people, if we're going to win the lost, we'll not do it by building a nice, pretty clubhouse. We'll not do it by building a new wing upon our church building. We'll do it when we conform our lives to what He said in Matthew 28:19, go ye. And if the volunteers would have continued to go because they had a desire to save those drowning people, many people would not have perished. But they got involved with the clubhouse. We are told, or I am told in books and in reading, that if you took the unchurched in the world and you stood them side by side, that they would reach around the world 30 times. And if you and I would take our cars and drive by these people at 50 miles an hour and glance at their faces, that it would take us 4 years and 30 days to reach the end of the line. And when we reach the end of that line, it would have multiplied by 20,000 miles. The unchurched are being born into the world at a rate of 138,000 persons per day. They're out there on a rough sea. They're shipwrecked. And they need a life station, a life-saving station to come to their aid and save them from total destruction. Yes. The church population. I wasn't here last week. But from the time that you left that front door last week until the time that you entered it this morning, the unchurched population has grown by 1 million persons. Stagnating, isn't it? Hard to believe, isn't it? And that's why we not only need the life-saving station, we need the volunteers to man them who are concerned about people who need to know God, who are dying without God. And if I don't do something and you don't volunteer to do it, these paid staff are not enough to do it all. Billy Graham said, I am reminded of the unchurched. And a picture of the growth is simply like this. If you took two cars side by side, and they both went at the same time, and one car drove 100 miles an hour, and the other drove 10 miles an hour. The car driving 100 miles an hour would represent the growth in unchurched, and those driving 10 miles an hour would represent the church growth. Oh my, how we need these life-saving stations. There's an awful truth, and the truth sits on me. There are many laymen who are not actively volunteering to save people. There are those who are not concerned about what's happening out there. And we have come content in the clubhouses and our places of work and our occupations. But you know, we're about some things that are important. We're about our job to provide for our family. We're about our concern for our family. We're concerned about getting a little bit ahead. We're concerned about success. We're concerned what happens in our community and with our children. And well, we should be. These are good things. They're wonderful. They're must. They have to be. They have to be. But I hear here the word of God in Mark 8:38 says something like this. But what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? You see, there's always something that's more important, more valuable than what I think. And it's what God is saying and leading us. We become self-centered. There was a lady now. I could say it was a man, but now you ladies are all, the men ain't smiling. You ladies are smiling, but I'm used to ladies. There was a lady got on the plane and she just happened to sit with a man who was very silent. In fact, he never said a word. And as soon as they got in there and leveled off, she reaches in her pocketbook and she pulled out a pocket-sized picture photo out of a man. She began to open and she began to tell the silent man that these were her grandchildren and all about them. And he never said the word. In fact, for 1,000 miles, he never says a word. And for 1,000 miles, she talks about her grandchildren. And after 1,000 miles, she realizes, oh my God. She said, oh sir, I'm sorry. I have talked for 1,000 miles about my grandkids. I haven't given you a chance to say one word. Oh, I'm sorry. So now, sir, would you tell me, please, what do you think of my grandchildren? What kind of life is that? We kind of got ourselves on our mind. Kind of reserved to us. Our own personal pursuits, and they're good. Our own personal pursuits are good. We can't do without them. But God has some pursuit too. And it's not building the clubhouse. It's not building a room to get away from those who need us. It's mending the life boat and going into the sea that's rough and saving people. Amen, amen. It's really getting into it with God. But yet, I would not have you think that I'm saying we're doing nothing. We had two ladies pay the list. Must have to be done. It's a job that has to be done. Had a superintendent said that came this morning at the job. It has to be done. It has to be done. It's God's work. We had teachers that stood before their class this morning. These are must. They're necessary. They're good. They have to be done. There's no way out. But you know what? There's something that is better beyond this. Beyond all of these musts. In our church, everybody doing a good job, from the song leader to the preacher, everybody doing their part, but there's something that isn't contained in these walls, and it's out there in that rough world, in that rough scene. And you know what's more important and more precious? It's those who are volunteers sharing their faith with someone else. Oh, I thank God that some years ago, that there was a group of people who loved God, and they loved a sinner who was a sinner, and his name was Howard Wise. And they prayed, and they didn't give up. They didn't say he don't care. They didn't say let him drown. They continued to pray, and they prayed hard, and they volunteered to do the work that had to be done, that I might be saved. And thank God, I'm saved. So, you need a station. You need someone who's concerned. You need the volunteers that are not concerned about staying in the clubhouse, but are concerned about manning the boat and going out into the rough sea. Sometime our fault lies in organization. Now, folks, believe me, I have nothing against organization. I just haven't got much time to belong to any of them. I help if I can. And they're good. I don't know nothing about the Kiwanis Club. It says it's a good organization. I don't know. But it's an organization that many people belong to. And the Rotary Club. And the Chamber of Commerce. And the Parent Teachers Association. And the Senior Citizen. And on and on. There are organizations that are good organizations that are doing a great work for the people. I want to say to us today that the greatest organization that you belong to today is your church, God's Bride. And I'll tell you why. Because it is the only organization in the whole world that has the stamp of eternity on the front. All other things will pass away, but the church, my friend, I'll tell you what, it's getting better for us, because we're just waiting, getting dressed, getting the bridal robe, getting it all together, that we might, before very long, be attached to our groom, Jesus Christ. The bride of Christ coming into that personal fellowship with God. There's something wrong, I believe, when we are more concerned about the clubhouse than we are about saving souls. Love to come to church. I don't boast. I mean, I don't say that lightly at all. I love to come to the house of God. I love to come and fellowship. I love to preach. You can believe that. I love to preach. In fact, if God said you can't preach, me and him would probably wrestle for a week or two before he finally beat me. But there's something else I have to love too. I have to love a world that makes up this church. And unless I'm willing to throw out my boat and oar it out to sea and save souls, the bride of Christ will never flourish. God leaves that up to us. Ingersoll, the atheist, enjoyed to say these words so many times. If you can destroy the Christian Sabbath, their day of worship, you will literally destroy Christianity. And that's true. We didn't have a place to come together and let God bless us and give us the strength needed for the week. What would we do? What would you do without God? You think it's tough now? Without God, it's tough. Yes. But you know, I don't know anything that's gooder. Notice that word, teacher's front seat, good. G-O-O-D-E-R. Gooder. Than a nice little league ball game. Then possibly a round of golf. A man was speaking the other night, and he was talking about Christian stewardship. And before the meeting, these three preachers was talking about past Thursday that they would be knocking that little ball around in the cow pasture and chasing it. And in the middle of this man's message, he says something like this. Stewardship should be what we talk about all times. We should be good stewards of God's possessions, of God's time, of God's money and all things. And he said, and I know you preachers are, because I heard a bunch of them talking about being on the saving field come Thursday. And oh, the redness of preachers' faces. It's not wrong for a preacher to play golf. No, not at all. Unless it takes his place of serving God. But the most important business is God's business. I think of the Bicathons. I think Sister Lucas worked in one. Some others in the church worked in the Bicathon. My nephew worked in there for St. Jude's Hospital. This is good. It's good. And there are things that need to be done. And they're gooder things, but I got a better thing. Not just good or gooder, but I got something that's better. And that is for the layman of God. To be in the church, the house of God, every Sunday, and every Sunday, and every Sunday, and every Sunday, and every Sunday, stop me, Deacon, and every Sunday, and every Sunday. Stop me. And in doing that, you bring a message to a world that on the Lord's Day you are doing something good or you're doing something gooder. But I am setting aside time in my life for doing something better. Oh, what a mess. Oh, what a message. And those on those shipwrecks, after the word got out of the volunteers, I can almost see them looking toward the Lamb. And all at once they see this little spot. And they know it's the boat of the volunteers. And I can almost hear them cry this morning. They're coming! They're coming! They know we're in trouble! They're coming! Does the world see us coming? Do we really know, laity, they're in trouble? Do we really know that volunteers are the only help God's got? Hold on, the pay staff! Do you know who it is that can't pay? You're looking at it. I'm the pay staff. You're all volunteers. And believe me, the paid staff cannot do it all. And so I beg you for Jesus, not for me. I beg you for Jesus to become a volunteer, a laity, who is willing to go into the troubled sea to save someone. A lady came to church one Sunday evening. She took a visitor's card and she wrote, "Would you like to have a visit from the pastor?" And she made an ad. And on Wednesday, the pastor got with one of the laity in the church. He asked him to go visit with this lady. And as they got there, before the pastor could say a word, the laity person said, "We've come in response to your request for a visit, and we've come to tell you about Jesus." And the pastor said he couldn't remember if she was divorced or her husband had died or what. But when they knocked on the door, a man opened the door. So he felt he was wrong, so he didn't press the issue. And he said the lay person began to say, "You know, Jesus died for us, and He goes from Genesis to Revelation in just a little period of time." And then the laity said to the woman, "Wouldn't you like to know this Jesus?" And she said, "Yes." And as she was saying yes, the man said, "Yes, I would like to know him too." And the lady, pastor not saying a word, this lay person led this woman and her husband to God. And as they started to leave, the lady said, "Pastor, I can't keep quiet any longer. Next week, our divorce would have been final. We couldn't get along. We couldn't make it. And my husband just stopped by tonight because he had a question that he had asked me about the paper. But now we've got someone who can help. We're going to try again." "Oh, preacher, that's a story you read in the book. It's a true story. And it happens every day." Let me close. Listen very closely to what I'm going to say to you right now. Once upon a time, was a little life-saving station. And this morning, I'll call it a soul-saving station. And it existed because there was a group of volunteers who really cared about sharing their faith. Did you hear that? Once upon a time, there was a church. And I will close this morning by asking you and I a question. How will you finish that story? Father, this morning, I know we're a lighthouse. I know that there's a spire that extends into the sky. Noah so comfortable in her dear God. In fact, so comfortable that we hate to leave sometimes. And out there, Father, on the other side of these walls, there's storms. You know how they're raging? And there's people dying. Though, God, I pray today that you will help us hear the cry. You will help us to know that there's problems, people who need help. And God, that you'll help us to volunteer to go save them. We love you, Lord. We ask you to use us in Christ's name. Amen. Sister Sandy and Sister Melba, come. If you haven't a burden for the lost, remember, you were one of them at one time. Thank God for volunteers. As we stand this morning, if you need to pray, if you're lost, you need to come to God, you just want to pray about a family situation, if there's a need in your life today, you need to take care of it, just do what you're led to do by the Holy Spirit of God. And I promise you that you'll leave here blessed. You can't leave here as a Christian and leave God behind, because He promised that He'd never leave you nor forsake you, and God always keeps His promise. As we sing, if you have a need, would you come?